Thank you for your good singing tonight and your attendance on Sunday night. I love Sunday night church. You know, Jesus came to the first Sunday night service, and there was one person that wasn't there, Thomas. But praise God, Thomas came the second Sunday night service, and I'm glad. I think that you find a Bible precedent for it, and it, just a special time together. I want to second what Pastor said earlier about this very, very important Victory Gospel Crusade. And I don't always get to come to the churches earlier like we are right now and just kind of give a shot in the arm as far as it and a plug as far as the crusade is concerned. But God's been so good. We've had some wonderful, wonderful meetings in days gone by. But it's been wonderful as a result of people putting their shoulders to the work. And so I want to second what he said about let's forget about the heat. Let's not stop remembering that it could be hot, but let's pray that God will send global cooling during that time. I'm praying against global warming and for global cooling. But, you know, we'll allow coldness that week with ice pops and with ice cream and with slushies and all that. But no cold hearts. Amen. No cold hearts. So let's just get in full in. Pastor will receive this week a link that he will be able to send out to you to sign up for a half hour slot of prayer on Friday. Now, we're going to try to send that to this church, to Brother Jeremy Rice's church, Brother Jason Rice's church, and any other churches that will get involved at Trinity and other churches. So we want you to be a part of that prayer slot. So fit in. Just say, I'm going to sign up for this particular link. And if it gets full, just choose one and the Lord will understand. Okay. And let's ask the Lord and meet with him every Friday night. And remember what Pastor challenged every day for 5 minutes. Let's pray. Yes. And, you know, this is the way our strategy is. This is our strategy for the Victory Gospel Crusade. Number one, pray. Number two, pray. Number three, pray. That's our strategy. And we believe that when God's people pray, God moves and God begins to respond. Yes, so we'll have working opportunities for people who will be in personal work at the altar every night, ready to win people to Christ. And we have opportunities for people that will work in the nursery, that people that will work in the greeters, welcoming people to come. As Pastor mentioned, parking lot attendants and kind of directing traffic along those lines. So all of those things will be available. And so let me encourage you to be working. And Pastor's going to get a link this week where he's going to send that out to you. And you can sign up for those particular needs. We have different people on the evangelistic team. There'll be me and my family, Josh Shelburne and his family that will be there all 2 weeks. There'll be Nate Bonnell. Of course, Brother Josh is here. And then Thomas Simpson and Drew Hay will come the second week. The first week will look like this. We're going to have, of course, services on Sunday on the 3rd. Area churches that are going to be a part of it will likely have different team members come. And then we'll have on the 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, we'll have different and particular opportunities to soul win and to have a prayer tent. We're going to set those prayer tents up and have people pray, and we'll train you with that. And then, of course, on the evenings, we'll have prayer meetings. You don't want to miss a single time. It'll be a wonderful time. I know God will use it, and I'm excited about how he's going to use it. So you be a part of it and get involved as much as you can. Don't forget these little memos over here. They'll be over here for anybody that you want to pray.
Yes. Brother Smith, he's got a real calling on his life in helping churches. He's as he would admit tonight, he can't come and be a Messiah to this area. But what Brother Smith has been called to do is to help lead the church to trust Jesus, to trust the work of the Holy Spirit to save souls. And to engage and mobilize and to inspire us. And so I'm so thankful, Brother Smith. I'm behind you 100%. I know you're for us.
Amen.
And he's just from the get-go, Pastor, we just want to be a blessing as we've done these. And so you pray for Brother Smith and his family, Ms. Amber, and their children. I'd love to get some prayer cards maybe even sent here in the next week or so so the folks could be praying for y'all. And he'll be coming in, be with us for 2 whole weeks. And if God wants to extend the meeting, we'll do that
Amen.
Too. But we certainly are praying for something special. And even in the meantime, asking for that work of revival. Brother Smith, I wanted to ask you before the people, would there be any training for when it comes to altar work, when it comes to leading someone to Christ?
Yes.
Will you have some things that you will be training us in?
Yes, I'll be sending some videos that we've made that are relating to how to win someone to Christ. But we'll also be teaching that once we arrive that prep week. And so that will be part of the prep week. It'll be the session that we go out. We'll be given a little challenge on how, or a little instruction on how to win souls to Christ. We'll give specific instruction. Also, that Thursday, we'll set up the tent. And this after the service tonight, we have anybody that wants to volunteer to put the tent from the trailer into the storage facility down here. We all get our hands on it. That kind of gets us all excited about what the Lord's going to do.
Would you turn in your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26 is where we'll be. Acts 26. Paul was one of those that if you would have seen him before he was saved, you would say, that guy will never be a Christian. Especially the Gentiles, and especially those Jews that had turned to Christ and had been saved and were following the Lord, especially that group, but even of his own peers, if somebody would have said, hey, you won't believe this, but Paul's going to one day become one of the greatest Christians beside the Lord Jesus Christ that ever lived on the face of this earth. They would laugh you. They would just mock you. And it would just be the joke of the town, if you will. I mean, think about that. No one would think, Saul of Tarsus? Becoming a Christian, a Christ follower, a Christ proclaimer, a preacher of the gospel, giving his life? Nah, not Saul of Tarsus. But see, what a lot of people don't realize, and what a lot of people didn't realize here, is what the grace of God can accomplish that we cannot. And so, as was Saul's, or Paul now, his testimony, his habit was, when he had opportunity, he shared his testimony. And please, friends, don't ever underestimate the power of your testimony for Christ. I don't care if you got saved when you were younger or older, it doesn't matter. You have a story that took the same amount of grace to save you than somebody that was saved later in life. Same amount of grace. It was the same exact hell that you were delivered from as somebody was delivered from perhaps that gets saved later in life. Same hell. Same lake of fire. It's the same powerful grace in their life. And sometimes as Christians, we forget that there are people that you work with, that there are people that you even rub shoulders with, that you would look at and say, no way. Don't see how they'll get saved. Well, let's see what one by the name of Saul said. Notice with me in Acts chapter 26. He's giving this testimony before Agrippa. And he goes straight for the gospel and what God did in his own life. He starts telling the story there in verse 13. If you notice there, at midday, O king, he's going to start telling about his journey about on the road to Damascus when Jesus met him. And how, in verse 14, Jesus confronted him of, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And verse 15 is Paul's salvation. He turned to the Lord. He said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And notice he gets a commission here, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister, a servant, and a witness both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. Notice what he says here. He's going to send him. He says, I send thee at the end of verse 17 to do what? And this is where I want to draw your attention, please. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I want us to read that verse again, verse 18, but I want us to read it all together. Would you read with me? To open their eyes and to turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's pray. Father, I pray in these next few moments, Spirit of God, you would remind us that you are seeking to set people free. You are seeking to give them sight from the blindness that Satan has placed upon them. Oh God, I pray that even as we think about going to Utah, as we think upon this Victory Gospel Crusade, as we think upon people that in many ways we say in our human minds, don't see how that one's going to get saved. Lord, forgive us for that doubt. Forgive me for my unbelief. Lord, I believe you're able. And I pray that you would reignite a faith in each of us here tonight in believing that there is nothing too hard for our God. And with men, this is absolutely impossible for people to get saved. But with God, all things are possible. We believe you, God. Help us in our unbelief. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned here, Paul was one that everyone said there's no way, but now God has worked in his life and now he's born again. He's saved and now he's on a mission to do what? To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. That's your call. That's my call. To turn them from darkness. You know, their religion, most of the religion of the world is darkness. Islam, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhism, Catholicism. You say, well, there's some Catholics that are saved. I'm sure there are. I wouldn't deny that. But the majority, if they're following the tenets of the Catholic Church, they're lost. They're depending on their good works. They're depending on being a member of the Catholic Church to get them to heaven. And what I'm saying is this world is full of religion. It's darkness. There are atheists. There are agnostics. I have an uncle by marriage that I'm praying for. He's a very intelligent man. He's a medical doctor. And he's a very kind man. He's generous. He seems to be that way from what I can understand. But he's agnostic. He doesn't believe you can really know God. And I'm believing God to save my uncle. I really am. And I am praying that his heart would turn and the Holy Spirit would turn his heart from darkness unto light. We have this cross up here. And I hope you'll make a habit to come by here tonight and take a sticky note and write down 1, 2, 3, how many names the Holy Spirit places on your heart, and put it on this cross. And we're praying for these names. And as they come to Christ, we're going to rejoice together. We're going to praise God together. But we are. We're not going to just throw this cross away. We're not going to just throw these away. These are people. These are souls for whom Jesus has died. And from Sunday school this morning, we're already seeing it fill up. You can use these sticky notes we've made available. This is going to stay up here. We're going to keep it going through the Victory Gospel Crusade. And we're going to see God do a miraculous work. That's why we're here. That's why the New Testament church is here, brethren. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit just fire my soul up. I want to be zealous of good works. I want to be zealous for souls. I want to realize that the gospel, that the treasure that I have in this weak vessel, and Lord knows I am weak. thank you for all of you that prayed for me, because God reminded me of how weak I am just by a sickness. It's amazing how God can humble us that quick, isn't it? Just a little flu, and I'm on the bed whining like a little baby. Joanna can handle sickness way better than I can. I thought I was dying. Lord, take me home. My flesh and my vessel here, the Bible says, is an earthen vessel. Earthen vessels are not known for being strong. They're weak. They're fragile. Aren't we fragile people? But thank God, it's God's idea. He chose the weak vessels to put that treasure. That treasure, He put it in you. He put it in me, knowing what He was getting. Oh, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of me. So anything that happens in Utah next week, anything that happens for the gospel's sake in that victory gospel crusade, anything that happens for the cause of Christ, it won't be because of an earthen vessel. It'll be because of the treasure that is within the earthen vessel. I just make myself available, and you do too, by faith, saying, oh God, turn people from darkness unto light. From the power of Satan unto God. Power of Satan. When we went to Scotland 2 years ago now, we went to one of the castles, and it was like some sort of sanctuary for birds they had there. They were rehabilitating some. But the visual I got of some of these eagles and falcons that they were trying to rehabilitate had gotten hurt in the wild or shot or something. They had them. There was probably, Brother Smith, there was at least a couple dozen. And they were all, their little one leg was chained to a little post. They had about 3 feet of chain, if that, to where they would try to fly and they would kind of go around or whatever. And it was a sad picture there. But it was like the Holy Spirit reminded me that there are many believers that are in that same boat. They're in bondage to Satan. They've been taken even captive at his will. Believers who are just living handicapped lives, restricted lives, when God is wanting to set us free to go out to a lost world and fulfill our purpose. And that's what I believe. And then, of course, there it's a picture also of lost people who have no freedom. They are trying to find freedom in all the wrong areas, and they're under the power of Satan. But I'm thankful that as God's people, we can say, as with Isaiah said, hey, we can mount up with wings as eagles. Praise God, we can run and not be weary. We can walk and not faint. So that we can go and see people set free from the power of Satan. I believe we can all agree tonight that we hate Satan, don't we? Hate him. I hate him with a holy hatred. And I believe it's time for God's people to get real mad at the devil. And start realizing that that real devil is out there trying to take as many people to hell as he possibly can. And they're under the power of Satan. And I'm saying that if we'll go out there as earthen vessels with the treasure, we'll see what Paul said. He said, hey, I've been called, praise God, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, so they can receive the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified, again, by faith that is in me. Oh, my friends, tonight as we close and have a word of prayer here in just a moment, I pray that we would be set on doing this very thing, turning them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan unto God. I don't know how many Mormons I'm going to be talking to next week. And our team member, Norma, Joshua, Jenna, Taylor, Tom, Caleb, Marianne, Lorraine, and Wendy, as the team goes out, we're going to have some divine appointments at the airport and on the ground. We'll be seeing the work of the Kellers. But our prayer is that these people that are in bondage to religion, they think they're getting to heaven by their religion. I pray that we would see them turn from darkness unto light. They're under the power of Satan. I've heard it's a very dark place. I've never been there, but I've heard it as beautiful as it is, a beautiful city, and people that have a beautiful appearance. I've often heard from born-again, Spirit-filled believers that there's a darkness and a heaviness that's present in that place. And by God's grace, we're going to go there with the love of God, with the power of God, and to see them turn from darkness unto light. I'm so thankful for this team that God's put together. So grateful for their willingness to go. I'm so thankful for a local church that supports missions and gets behind the teams that go. I'm so thankful that there's going to be folks here holding the rope as we go over to Utah. Hold the rope to pray for us, to give us utterance as Paul prayed, to give us to speak the mysteries of the gospel. Because I'm telling you, there's some deep, deep confusion and doctrine among the Mormon teaching. And I'm not an expert on it, but I will tell you this. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is God. And if anybody dies rejecting Jesus as being God, they will spend an eternity in a place called hell. I know that. My Bible declares it. And I want to go there and I can't save them, but I want to go there and see as many people touched with the gospel as I possibly can. Would you pray for us, church? Even tonight, I'd like to have a commissioning service where our church officially sends the team out with God's blessings and power. And so at this time, what I'd like to ask the team to come, all that I just called out there, all the team members, let's come up here. And I'm going to ask Brother Jake if you'd come, Brother Charles if you'd come. I want you to pray for our team. Let's come on up here together. I get beside my daughter here. Amen. This is the team. They'll be going out. Caleb is leading the team. He's done a great job planning and is doing a wonderful job. I appreciate him. And Joshua, our intern, is going to be a help to us. And all the rest of us, we're just going to be working together. We all have prayer partners. We'll be doing devotions each morning. We'll be learning about reaching Mormons from Brother Mike. We'll be having some lessons together. And he's going to be teaching us a lot. Then he's going to be taking us out to the university where they work. We'll be handing out gospel tracts. We'll be meeting all kinds of people. We'll actually be leading the service on Sunday there in Orem, Utah, Grace Baptist Church. I'll be preaching. We'll have special music. And we'll be doing some work around the church. And so pray that God would use us to be a blessing. Pray that God would use us to be an encouragement. And pray that God would use us to turn people from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. So I'm going to ask Charles, why don't you come down here on this end, dear brother. And Jake, would you start us off praying for the team? Let's all join together. And Charles, would you close us? Amen.
And do you know the only way, according to the Mormon church, they can be atoned for? Through your murder or suicide. And he said, do we believe this? Is this something we believe? He went to him. He went to another Mormon bishop. Now, he's a Mormon deep into it, up to his eyeballs in it. He said, do we believe this? And that Mormon bishop said, yes. As a matter of fact, in the 80s, I think there were about 100 Mormons in Mexico that were murdered. They were murdered because their sins could not be atoned any other way. Mm. And so he said, I can't do this. And he and his wife walked completely away.
Praise God.
Now, in March of 21, he was the bishop of 500 people. And he went really into a downward spiral of atheism, questioning his faith, questioning everything that he'd been taught. And he didn't know what to do. He read about this many books on a shelf that would make the case for Christ look like something very, very insignificant. And some of these books were not written by Christians. Some of them were written by atheists. He told me later, he said, I think that Mormonism is prep school for atheism because it has a lot of the same logic and the same conclusions and the same false premises and the same reasoning. But in June, I think he had read a book, Forensic Evidence for the Resurrection of Jesus Christ, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he got saved.
Amen.
He believed that Jesus was God. He believed that he was the only way of salvation, that there was no other way up, other than his grace. And he got saved. It was really a miracle. And I met him in November. From June to November, he had read through the Bible 4 times. He said, I have overwhelming joy. He said, I have zero guilt. And he said, I'm addicted to the Bible. So I think he got the goods. And I said to him, Daniel, you're going to need a friend. I said, you're coming out of full on darkness. And I said, you're going to need a friend. And I said, I'll be that friend. So we spent hours on the phone. We'd spend hours on the phone talking. And he asked me about all kinds of things. You see, the Mormons teach that they restored the gospel, that it was lost for 1800 years. And they restored the gospel when the golden plates were given to Joseph Smith. And very deceptive. It's very deceptive. By the way, Peter Cartwright was a circuit riding Methodist preacher. And one man came to his meetings to disrupt his meetings over and over. This is in the 1800s. And he would bring people with him to disrupt the meetings with all kinds of animal noises and just all in all disruption. Peter Cartwright said, I never knew a more deceitful person. His name was Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism. And so it's based upon Mormonism. If you ever get a chance, you should read. John Quincy Adams wrote a little book about Joseph Smith and about Mormonism. And he exposed it and made it the mockery that it is. And I just want to say to you that the only thing that a lie needs is the bare naked truth. The full-on confrontation with truth. And I was preaching last March in Missouri. I had come from Texas. I was on my way to Missouri just coming into the service. And a pastor in Indiana called me and he said, I have a men's meeting on Friday night. And he said, my speaker just got COVID and he canceled. And he said, I notice you have it open. Can you come preach for me? I said, yes. So I drove from Missouri over to Indiana, got back over to Missouri for the meeting. But I drove to Indiana to preach. It was heavenly. It was heavenly. It was an auditorium about half the size of this auditorium, packed with 200 men. And they were all there ready to eat steak. There were 200 steaks, 200 baked potatoes, 200 pieces of pie, 50 gallons of sweet tea. Let somebody say amen right there. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. Then once they got all done eating, they packed back in and they sang the rooftop off. And to hear men sing is wonderful. And after I preached on what will you do with Jesus afterwards, a young man came up to me. His name was James. And he said, you said in your service that you travel around and preach. And you've been doing that for a long time. I said, yes. He said, that has to be exciting. I said, it is. He said, well, that's something I want to do. He said, I want to do that. I said, well, wonderful. He said, I'm Mormon. I said, that's amazing. I said, but before you ever do that, you need to make sure that you've been born again. And he said, well, I have. I said, you have? When? He said, well, he said, I read the Book of Mormon and I got a burning in my heart. And that's what they say. It will give you heartburn, but that's what they say, that you read the Book of Mormon and pray for a burning in your chest, and that verifies that you actually are following the truth. And so I said, well, I said, that sounds very amazing. I said, but that is not what being born again is. He said, it's not. He said, what it is? What is it? I said, well, being born again is when you come to Jesus and admit you're a lost, guilty sinner, and that you need a Savior, and that you can't save yourself, and only Jesus Christ can save you, and you put your trust in Him as God and God alone. And I said, let me share with you a verse. And I took my Bible and I began to witness to him. I said, did you know I was in the Mormon Temple Square in Salt Lake City, Utah in 1994? And I said, the lady that gave us a tour, Sister Landgraf, said, the Bible is like one light in the room, and the Book of Mormon is like another light in the room. He said, yeah, that's what we believe. I said, if you believe that, you're going to die and go to hell. I said, let me show you what this Bible says in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. The Bible says, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. I said, the Book of Mormon is completely antithetical to the Word of God. I said, did you know in 2 Nephi 25:23, the Book of Mormon says we're saved by grace after all we can do? I said, that goes contrary to what the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I said, the Jesus of the Mormon church is not the Jesus of the Bible. I said, the Jesus of the Mormon church is not God. The Jesus of the Mormon church's brother is Lucifer. The Jesus of the Mormon church came and preached to the American Indians. I said, the Jesus of the Bible is God. And his brother is not Lucifer. And he did not come and preach to the American Indians. And I said, what Galatians 1, 8 and 9 says is that anybody that preaches another gospel or another Christ, let him be accursed. He said, what does that mean? I said, it means damned to hell forever and condemned for all eternity. I said, let me share with you what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30. He said, well, the Bible was changed. I said, no, it wasn't. He said, yes, it was. It was retranslated. I said, it has no errors. He said, yes, it does. And I turned the Bible to him and I said, can you show me one error? I said, I've only read it through 35 times. And I said, I can't find one error. He said, no. I said, look at what the Bible says here in Proverbs 30 and verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. I said, let me show you this verse over here in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2. It says that you shall not add unto the words which I command you this day, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God. I said, look at this verse over here in Revelation 22 and verse 18. Whosoever shall add to the words of the book of this prophecy, to him will I add the plagues of this book. And whosoever shall take away from the book of this prophecy, him will I take, his part will I take out of the book of life. He said, I'm trembling all over. I said, you should be trembling, because you and the Mormon church are in big trouble with God for adding to and taking away from the Word of God and changing His gospel. I said, let me share with you this number. And I gave him Daniel Busey's name. I said, he discovered the doctrine of blood atonement, and he was a Mormon bishop of 500 people. I said, a couple of years ago, he left this mess. And I said, you should call him. And I said, let me give you my number. I said, here's his YouTube channel. I said, let me give you my number. You can text me. He texted me late into the night about Jesus being God and about the Trinity. And I answered him. And I called Daniel Busey. I said, pray for this guy. His name is James. He was just a young man. He said, okay. Oh, wow. That's exciting. Next morning, Daniel Busey texted me and said, give me his number and I'll call him. I said, well, let me get permission from him first. Well, it's too late. James had already contacted him. And by Saturday night, James had gotten saved. And he went to his mom on Sunday morning and said, I'm leaving the Mormon church. She said, what? She said, well, at least talk to the bishop. So he went and talked to the bishop that Sunday and told him he was leaving the Mormon church. And I'm still in contact with James today. And I simply want to say to you that when we pray, I can't even emphasize enough what Pastor emphasized, how this is darkness, that there's layers of lies. And who do we know is the father of lies? Satan. There's layers of demonic influence that go deep, deep, deep down. But none of it individually and And all of it collectively is no match for the power of the gospel.
Amen.
It's the power of Satan. You saw that bunker busting bomb go down into the very dregs of the abyss, into that mountain, and it went 200 to 300 feet down, and then another one went right down in the same hole, went 200 to 300 feet down. Those are nothing compared to the power of the gospel.
Woo.
And all of you are testimonies to that fact. And so when the gospel is given, we need to pray for this team that God will give them holy utterance. And if you go, you need to go. And not pride. No, pride's going to be your downfall. But holy utterance and holy boldness. Spirit-filled boldness to proclaim Jesus Christ is God. The Bible is the Word of God. Jesus is the only way to heaven. That your works will damn you to hell for all eternity. And Jesus Christ's grace will save you for all eternity.
Amen.
Praise God. What a wonderful way to end the service. Amen. God is able, and just in like James's life and Daniel's life and people around you that just say, I just don't see how God can do it. God can. So be encouraged tonight, brethren. Be encouraged on the miracles that God wants to do around us, and mark it down. There's no greater miracle than someone being saved from eternal sin and hell. No greater miracle. No greater miracle. No greater miracle. So let's go and see what God's going to do as we walk by faith. Amen. Last, just an encouragement, or I should say maybe a prayer request. Mike Keller told me that the church they go to, it's a small church, very small. There's financial needs in their church, and he said they're wanting to buy new hymnals. And he just made this mention to Caleb, and the ones they're wanting to buy are $15 a piece. And they need at least 25 of them. And if anybody feels led to say, hey, I'd like to buy one of those hymnals, let Caleb know. We're going to try to get an offering together to purchase them the hymnals they need. 25 hymnals that are $15 a piece. So you keep that before the Lord. If God presses on your heart, please let me know. And also, the team, remember, leaves out on Tuesday. If you want to write these dates down, all right, so the team is actually going to be gone on Tuesday, and that is July the 8th, correct? Is that the 8th? All right. So we leave on July 8th, and we return on Sunday night, the 13th. We'll lead the services that morning, and then we'll fly out later that day. So if you can mark your calendar to pray for us, it's a short trip, but we're praying that it will be super impactful, and God would use it mightily. The prayer cards are in the foyer. I hope you'll grab those before you leave out. And then last but not least, we are receiving a love offering today for Brother Smith, his family. So glad he came in. He had this day open as an evangelist. And so let's just give him a generous love offering. God puts it on your heart. Just designate it Smith family, and be very, very thankful for that. It's been a good day. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me as we get ready to close in a word of prayer?